Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the Previews Spotlight covering items in the September 2011 Previews catalog. These items should start hitting store shelves in November. Now, as always, we'll start at the front of the Previews catalog and work our way to the end, covering only the highlights, and really only some of the highlights in the catalog this month. Now, those highlights, as always, are determined by what Bob, I, and our listeners found interesting. Now, we've got an open submission policy and strongly encourage you guys to send in clips about items that you found interesting. Bob and I are using this to get input as to what else we should be reading that we may not already know about. Now, with sales continuing to slide on most comics, why not support the comics you enjoy by sending in a clip for them on the next Preview Spotlight? That way you can share your love for these things, hopefully get some more sales, and hopefully it'll stick around longer. Now, starting us off in Dark Horse is regular contributor to the Preview Spotlight, Damian.
Hi guys, it's Damien here with my first pick for the month, which is all the way on page 24 from Dark Horse, which is House of Night number 1. And this is a miniseries, five-part miniseries coming out from Dark Horse. The writer is Kent Dalion. You've also got PC cast, you've got a Christian cast, and there's numerous artists on there as well. Now, this is actually, the main reason I want to point this out, it's a new series coming out, the first issue is going to be $1. You can't go wrong with buying it at $1, you'll probably find it cheaper online as well if you're going to be purchasing it from anywhere online, but I reckon this seems to be interesting. It's sort of going along the ideas of, you know, it's along what I'd normally pick, so you've got your vampires, you've got things like that going in there, so it is the darker side of things, but it's actually like, you know, you've got Zoe Redbird, who's a high school student who's actually suddenly thrown into this sort of world, so it's going to be interesting, but to be honest, for $1, I'll check it out, so yeah, I'll be getting it. Comes with two covers there. To be honest, I like the variant cover myself, but I'll see what I can order at the time when I go to get it. As I said, costs $1. You can't go wrong. Throw it in there. If you don't like it, you don't have to get the next. Okay, then, page 24 from Dark Horse, and I'll let you get back to Bob and John.
Next up on page 100 is Thunder Agents number 1, volume 2. Nick Spencer is back for the 6-issue miniseries with artist Wes Craig. Now, in this story arc, the Thunder Agents face off against the Warlord in his subterraneans. Now, I'm not sure if this is going to be the Travis Morgan Warlord or not, but I kind of hope so, because that would be cool. Even if it's some other Warlord, Nick Spencer's a great writer and he's been doing a terrific job on the Thunder Agents. This is a great and I think a very underrated series at DC. The cover price is $2.99, DCBS has it at a 50% discount. Check out the first issue here, it should be a good jumping on point and I think you'll enjoy it.
First pick of the month comes from page 114 of the DC section, the Chase Trade Paperback. This trade paperback is 352 pages, full color, for $29.99. Written by D. Curtis Johnson and J.H. Williams III, with art by J.H. Williams III and others. Most of us are familiar these days with J.H. Williams III from his work on Batwoman. This is a lot of early work and involves the character Cameron Chase. She works for the Department of Extranormal Operations, a government agency with jurisdiction over superhuman activity. If you're fond of books like Checkmate or Gotham City, I think you'll like this publication. If you're like me and you like to follow artists, you can get some look at early J.H. Williams works to see where he started from and what he's involved to. All of these comics can probably be found in back issue bins, but this is a collection dedicated solely to this character. So you really should give it a try. The price is reasonable. You're getting a lot of artwork for a very low price. So with that, back to the guys.
Hey guys, it's Damien here again with my second pick for the month, which is on page 122 of the DC Comics DC Kids section, and this is going to be Green Lantern, the animated series number 0. Now, the main reason I am pointing this one out is I recently went to see the actual movie with my son. He loved it. I enjoyed it. Yes, I know that there were things that I didn't like about it, but to be honest, as a movie, I enjoyed it. So with that, my son's been all about the Green Lantern and things like that, so he's been wanting to watch all the stuff I've got, so we've been digging out the Justice League, we've been digging out all that sort of stuff that I've actually got on DVD, and I think this is a great point for anyone who's got kids who wants to enjoy something. You know, I've always been someone who likes the DC Kids side of things. I keep getting the actual all-new Batman Brave and the Bold for my son. I don't even get to read it myself. As soon as he sees it, he takes it off me, and that's it. It goes away in his comic box, and that's it. So this is one I'm going to pick up because he's in that mood at the moment. It could have came out a bit sooner, yes, but, you know, I'm going to be enjoying this. I've always loved the animated stuff that they've done there. We've got it written by Art Balcazar and Franco, and we've got art by Dario Bruzella, whose name that I'm sure that I'm going to be corrected on, so because I'm sure I've got that one wrong. So I'll check that one out. As I said, page 122, they are $2.99. So to be honest, there's no more $2.49 or $1.99 DC Kids books that, from what I've noticed here, but at least they're not $3.99. So you're going to be getting 32 pages, and it's rated E for everyone. So hey, can't go wrong with that. Check it out, page 122. And let's go back to the guys.
Next up on page 126, we've got Uncharted number 1, written by Josh Williamson with art by Sergio Sandoval. This is based on the critically acclaimed PlayStation 3 video game, and it's a new story that's bridging the space between a couple of those games, so anyone who's a fan of this video game franchise would do well to check out Uncharted. I've got an interview with Josh on this month's Previews Interviews episode, and Josh is also the writer of the new Xenoholics series that's coming out from Image Comics. We got issue number 2 in the catalog this month in the Image section. If you missed that one, you might also want to go to your shop and ask them to reserve issue number 1 for you. That'll be coming out in October. And sounds like a really cool series. I talked to Josh about both Uncharted and Xenoholics on the interview episode, so you might want to check those out. Sounds like a couple of really fun series. And on page 168, we've got the miniseries Heart. It's an issue 1 of 4. The story's by Blair Butler, who you probably recognize from G4 TV. And the art is by Kevin Mellon, who we talked to a couple of months ago about the original graphic novel that he did the art for called Lovestruck that he did with Dennis Hopeless. But Kevin Mellon's got a really nice art style. If you look at page 169 of the previews catalog, you'll see some sample art there. Now, this is mixed martial arts, and it's the story of a guy who is training up on the mixed martial arts circuit, kind of like cage fighting, ultimate fighting, and it looks like a very interesting series. If you're into mixed martial arts and fighting, this is definitely a series that you're going to want to check out. You're going to look at it on page 168 of the previews catalog. And on page 186, we've got the first volume of the wonderful all-ages Western Reed Gunther. This is everyone's favorite bear-riding cowboy, and he gallops into his first collected edition. Reed and his trusty grizzly bear, Sterling, are fighting snakes, hordes of mole men, a resurrected John Henry zombie, freak show freaks, special government agents, and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's a real fun all ages, and when I say all ages, it really is something that adults and kids can appreciate. It collects the first 5 issues of the regular monthly Reed Gunther comic, and I have an interview with the writer Shane Houghton and artist Chris Houghton. They're a brother and brother team, and you can hear that interview on the interview episode that comes up on Friday. But this is a really great series, and if you missed it in monthly issues, it's well worth checking out in the collected edition. There's a 50% discount on this comic, or on this trade paperback, rather, and you'll be able to pick that up for the low, low price of $7.50.
Moving over to the Marvel previews, on page 37 is Fantastic Four 600. Just in time for the 50th anniversary of the Fantastic Four, the series reverts back to the old title and numbering. Gee, big surprise. Never saw that coming. Oh, wait, no, I did. I think we mentioned that a year ago. In any case, this is going to be an oversized issue with 96 pages of all new content. Now, the cover price is a steep $7.99, and the DCBS discount of 50% drops that to $3.99, which I guess is the cost of an average comic at Marvel, or some of the Marvel comics these days. But with the standard comic having only about 20 pages of content, and this having nearly five times that much material, this really isn't a bad deal. And Jonathan Hickman's been doing some great stuff on the Fantastic Four. This story is gonna, you know, go back to, or it starts a five-part story that's the conclusion to the storyline he started, Hickman started on his run back with issue 570. And that's where they brought in the alternate reads and all of that solve everything stuff. So it should be some great stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Again, it's a little bit steep. With the discount, it helps. But, you know, hey, support your local store, too. This should be worth getting even at the full $7.99. Next up on page 55 of the Marvel previews is Victor Von Doom number 1. In this four-issue miniseries, Nick Spencer explores the teenage Victor Von Doom. This will cover Victor's life from the time he's in college with Reed Richards through what turns him into Dr. Doom. This should be a very exciting time for young Victor. It'll certainly be a life-changing experience for him and probably quite a few others. The cover price here is going to be $2.99. DCBS has this at a 50% discount. And as I mentioned earlier, Nick Spencer is just a great writer. This should be a really fun storyline and be interesting to see really what he does with young Victor Von Doom and how he portrays that whole evolution of the character into what's really one of the landmark villains of the Marvel Universe.
Next up on page 226, we've got Volume 3 of the Subculture Web Strips. This is a great web comic by Kevin Freeman and Stan Yan that you can find out at subculturecomic.com, and I read it every week. It's a great exploration of geek culture, and this is volume 3 that's in the previews catalog this month, and through a little bit of a mix-up, the volume 3 actually went in before volume 2. Volume 2 will be in next month's preview, so if you're following this strip, you didn't miss it. You can see all of these on subculturecomic.com, but if you're like me and you like to get a hard copy of things that you really like, this is worth picking up. It's only $9.95 retail for the 96-page volume, and there's a 30% discount from DCBS, and we have our guest interviewer Amber, who is talking to Kevin Freeman about the subculture strip and about this trade in this month's previews interview episode that's coming up on Friday. So look for that.
Hey guys, this is Damien from LordShaver.com with my next pick for the month, which is on page 230, or you can actually see the main picture for it on page 229 from Archaea, and it is Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal Creation Myths Book 1 hardcover. Now, this is one that really just jumps out at me. I'm a huge fan of The Dark Crystal. I'm a huge fan of Brian Froud, and anyone who knows me will know that I'm a huge fan of Brian Froud. If you don't know the name, you would know him from his artwork. He's done all the concept design for the Dark Crystal, for the Labyrinth, all the creature type things he's done. He's also been involved and done the Pressed Fairy book, The Good Fairies, Bad Fairies. all sorts of books along those lines, along with other sort of work. I've got a couple of novels, actually, that he's done artwork for by Charles de Lint. So he's always been involved around that fairy type of concept. And this is one that I will be getting. So it's written by Brian Holguin, whose name I know I butchered there, and Brian Froud. The art's by Alex Shirkman and Lizzie Johnson. It is going to be a 96-page hardcover, and it's going to be $19.95. I know that's a bit dear for the amount of pages, but to be honest, I would recommend this, and I will be getting this no matter what. I love this sort of artwork, I love this history, and I love anything by Brian Froud, so I've been collecting his stuff for a long time. If you are a fan of The Dark Crystal, and there has been rumours of actually a new movie coming out, you might want to check it out, see what's going on there. Even if you just want to wait to see it on the shelves, this is one I want to point out to people who are a fan of this sort of world. So check it out from Archaea, page 230, and it's Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal. Okay, I'll let you go back to the guys.
And on page 233, we've got Atlas Unified number 1. This is the first ever crossover of some of the Atlas characters. In this case, we've got the Grim Ghost, Phoenix, Wolf the Barbarian, and Detective Sam Lomax. Bill Zanowitz and I recently did a publisher spotlight on all the Atlas Seaboard comics back from 1974-1975. We have the Arden relaunch of those series that have been going on for about 5 or 6 months now, and here we've got the very first crossover where these characters all come together in a single story. There are 4 different covers to this comic. There's a wolf, a grim ghost, and a phoenix, and then there's a wraparound fold-out cover that's got all 3 images all in one. I believe that wraparound cover is actually $3.99, even though the previous catalog says that it's $2.99. I believe that's a misprint. You'll be able to find that on page 233 of the catalog. And if you're enjoying the Atlas relaunch like I am, you're definitely going to want to check that out. Next up on page 235, we've got Dead Man's Run number 0. This is from Greg Pak as writer, and the penciler is Tony Parker, who's coming off of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep from Boom Studios. This is a story about a prison. They call the prison hell, and they just might be right. The nation's toughest soldier heads into the world's most deadly maximum security lockup and uncovers a world of terror and temptation beyond his darkest dreams. This is a 12-part story, and I have an interview with Tony Parker about this that'll be in the episode that goes up on Friday. You can pick up this particular issue for 50% off. It's $2.50 cover price, so for $1.25, you'll be able to check out the Dead Man's Run number 0 issue. I'll also point out that this is a 12-page story. It is not just a sketchbook, although there are sketchbook elements to it. And I'm definitely going to be checking it out. There's been some good stuff coming out of Aspen Studios lately, and this is looking like it's going to be the latest one. So check it out at page 235, Dead Man's Run number 0.
Next up on page 252 is Seven Warriors number 1 from Boom Studios. The pitch on this is 300, set in 6th century Libya, with 7 gorgeous female warriors. Now, that works for me. Now, the artist is Francis Manipal, who's been on Flash and Adventure Comics recently. And really, the art they show on that ad on page 257 looks great. I mean, I'm not looking for necessarily high plot and stuff like that, although I'm pretty sure we're going to get some of that too. But this 3-issue miniseries just seems like a lot of fun. Good premise, good pitch, really. I mean, you know, gorgeous women, good action story, you know, hey, looks like fun. Cover price, $3.99. DCBS has it at a 45% discount. I'm trying this out because, like I said, it looks like fun. It's a 3-issue commitment. I'm willing to do that. I like Francis Manipal's art. So, hey, check it out.
Hey, Hey everyone, it's Damien back for my last pick for the month, which is all the way back on 253. It's coming from Clive Barker here and Boom Studios, and it's Hellraiser number 9. Now, if you're a horror fan, you would have at least know of Hellraiser. If you're not a horror fan, you would know of Hellraiser. Everybody knows of Pinhead and the movies back in the 80s. There was, 8 movies in total. This is actually continuing on. This is actually an official continuation coming from Clive Barker. So it's not just somebody picking up the license and going from where they want to take it. This is Clive Barker taking it where he wants to. He's the writer on it, and you've got Stephen Thompson doing the art on it. This is actually, if you're interested in it and you missed out on actually where it started off, this is the start of a brand new arc. So this is sort of changing where everything goes. So you've got to change what's happening with the Cenobites. You're changing what's actually happening in Hell. You're changing the whole thing there and what's going to happen with Pinhead. So if you're interested, this is one I've been picking up already. I've been loving, but if you wanted to jump on with a new arc, this is where you go at issue 9. So, you know, it's 32 pages, it is $3.99, it is not for kids, it's mature themes, so really, if you're interested, check it out. As I said, page 253 from Boom Studios. You can't go wrong with Clive Barker, he's one of my favourite authors, especially in the horror sort of genre there, so yeah, go and check it out, and I'll let you go back to the guys, and I'll speak to you again next month.
And on page 317 from Red 5 Studios, we've got Dead or Alive, number 1. When 2 down-on-their-luck cowboys capture the most wanted outlaw in the West, they get more than they bargained for when they discover a Comanche shaman has infected him with an ancient zombie virus. This is a play on the old Wanted, Dead or Alive, but we've got the cowboy bounty hunters are alive and the zombies are dead. And we've got zombies and cowboys mixing it up in this series from Red 5. You got a 45% discount on this from DCBS, so you can pick the issue up for $1.64. And in the Friday interview episode, I talked to writer Scott Chitwood, who's also co-publisher of Red 5 Comics. And we talk about Dead or Alive and also pretty much everything else that Red 5 has put out, including the wonderful Atomic Robo, and you can pick up Atomic Robo and the Ghost of Station X number 4 on the same page, 317, one of my favorite series out there. So please check out Dead or Alive number 1, check out Atomic Robo, check out everything from Red 5 Comics.
My second pick of the month comes from page 345 of the previous catalog, the 160th Sexiest Women in Comic Books. It's a soft cover, 64 pages, 8.5 by 11, full color for a price of $8.99. I don't normally go for this kind of stuff, but I am, as far as the cheesecake aspect of it, but I am a big fan of lists. So I'm kind of interested to see what they come up with for the top 100. They seem to have a wide range here, as it advertises from Agatha Heterodyne to Zatanna Zatara. I've never heard of Agatha Heterodyne, but I understand she's from something called Girl Genius. Looking at the picture in the solicitation, you get a wide selection across the comics genre, everything from Triplicate Girl to Jade to Veronica. So if you're like me and you like lists, this might be something you want to pick up, maybe if you just like the artwork. Now back to the guys.
So this was starting out to be a little bit of a slow month for me, but I wound up putting a couple other items on the board during the previews call to kind of bounce that back up to about where it normally is.
Yeah, you pointed out that DC Comics presents Elseworlds 80-page giant that I had totally missed seeing because I don't normally look at those DC Comics presents things.
Hey, I only noticed it during the previews call. I almost missed it myself. That was one that they had pulped after originally producing it. The only story that was out of it was the Super Sons thing. It was in, I guess, the trade for the Super Sons. Maybe one other story got reprinted somewhere. But funny how when you get a new publisher or co-publishers, you can print stuff the other one, previous publisher, had pulped.
Yep, but yeah, like somewhat light month for me overall. I mean, I ended up with about 25 fewer comics in overall numbers than last month. But I think it was, you know, I've been cutting back and, you know, various miniseries from Image have ended that, you know, haven't had a lot of, I only had one number one from Image this month, that Guns and Dinos from Frank Cho.
That one looks good.
You know, but, you know, there have been other months when Image has had four or five or six number ones that looked interesting to me that I added onto my list. So, you know, when you kind of add up that, you know, various things are falling off and they're not at, I mean, it kind of fluctuates, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Definite ebb and flow as titles come and go and stuff.
And I'm still on the all 52 DCs because, you know, we've only actually seen, you know, as we record this, one of the new 52 books. You know, we haven't gotten our DCBS shipments yet with the next wave of 12 or 13 of them that are out. We just haven't seen them yet. You know, it's just, I have to read a few issues of those before I know which ones I'm going to keep getting or not. I would suspect that I'm going to drop some of those, but who knows?
Well, I mean, for me, the ones I'd likely drop would be like the Men of War, Demon Knights, iVampire, probably the All-Star Western and stuff. But again, I want to give them all a couple of issues just to see if they start to click with me or something. You know, trying to go in fair. I guess for me, because it was starting to be a little bit of a lower month, it allowed me to go get a couple of things I probably would not have gotten if it was a really tight month. They've got a, I don't know the correct pronunciation of this, but the Ninjago stuff, part of the new Lego line they've got. They've got a graphic novel for it, and it was a couple of bucks. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll give it a shot. Don't really expect to continue with it after that, but you never know. And there are one or two, you know, graphic novel type things that I also picked up that if it were a tighter month, I'd probably have just passed on.
Yeah, I did that too. There was a graphic novel from Craig Thompson, that an OGN, that, you know, he did Blankets that I really liked. Yeah. And, you know, it was an award-winning thing. He had a new thing that I had kind of missed the first time through, and I was kind of light, and it's like, oh, okay, let's throw that on. And, you know, there's things like that that it's a little easier to throw $20 or $30 hardcovers onto your list when you're on a really low month than when you're spending a lot. So
yeah. Well, one of the things I tossed on was the Japan Needs Heroes book, which apparently collects a bunch of stuff that various people in the industry had done in support after the tsunami and stuff. So that sounded interesting. And again, it was a month I could fit that in. And I believe all the proceeds go to you know, help the people over in Japan from the earthquake, the tsunami, and the nuclear stuff that had happened. I mean, talk about just a series of devastation there. That was pretty insane. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think for me, a lot of the back half stuff is starting to thin out, just as some of the publishers kind of, you know, again, finish off miniseries, haven't started up a few others and stuff. Really, a lot of what I'm getting in the back half is still coming from Boom, Dynamite. Really, they account for a lot of it, actually, and that's even having cut back a lot on the Dynamite stuff.
I'm getting 28 things in the back half of preview, so I'm getting 28 comics, one trade paperback, and one hardcover.
I'm getting a total of 26 things. Some of those are, at least three of those are books, graphic novel, and I've got a couple other things that are on the fence in that area.
I'm not counting the, you know, those Eagle Moss figures or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
These are just, you know, the reading material ones. But I kind of split down. Like, my big two was 84 this month, which was down 11 from last month. And then my overall indies was 64, which was down 13 from last month. You know, so, you know, overall down 24 from last month.
Yeah. Well, I'm still getting a ton of stuff from DC. So 68 plus 52. Actually, no, let me correct. I think that is 68 total, thereabouts. Anyways, it's 16 plus the 52. This whole one-line item for the 52 thing just confuses me at times.
Yeah, you got to add that on.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm pretty much getting most of their stuff from Marvel. Marvel is just, they're double shipping a lot of things. I'm getting a ton of stuff from them. And that's one that may start to bite them as it goes. It's 79 items plus a trade paperback.
Yikes.
With only two things on the fence, both of which I probably won't get. probably going to get off Punisher and Thor Deviant Saga. I'll probably skip. And they're at the point where they're coming out with two issues of too many titles, all these Avenger origins that I'm getting and stuff. They're really starting to run the risk of me starting to get a little bit more selective, and it's kind of like that surface tension thing. Once you break it, you just sink.
Yeah, you know? Like they did that with me a few months ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I'm, you know, down. It's like, well, down, right? I mean, I was at one point, you know, when I started this, what, about 3-4 months ago, I was up like around 185 for comics. And this month I came in at 149. So, I mean, I've made a decent size dent. You know, it's not, you know, it's still an insane amount compared to like a lot of people. But, you know, 149 down from 185 is a fair drop.
I'm just getting to the point where, I mean, I enjoy all these comics, some more than others, definitely. Not all of them are 5 out of 5 books by any stretch of the imagination, but few, if any, fall below that 3 out of 5 kind of rating for me. And usually once they do, or even if they're really good and I just don't like them, like Punisher, it's really good, I'm just not liking it, goes off the list. But it is starting to get to the point where some weeks I'm getting like 50 books coming in a shipment, and it's just finding the time to read that is difficult. And I like to stay current on my reading. But there's a lot of great stuff coming from a lot of these publishers. It's going to be interesting again to kind of see where DC goes as they add a couple of new titles here and there. I'm still waiting for that Ferrest, that Fables spinoff to start up. Looking forward to that one. That may be another month or two, though. But it's good stuff. But I think we're seeing our reading patterns diverge a bit. You're getting more into the Image and the indies and stuff, where I'm still very heavy in the Marvel and DC.
Yeah, well, I'm so far still as heavy into DC as you are pretty much, but my Marvel has taken a huge downturn. I mean, I only did 22 Marvel comics this month, which is less than a third of what you got.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's actually closer to a quarter, but yeah. But once you take out the mutant stuff, once you take out the Ultimate line, things like that, it really starts to drop off pretty quick. Yeah. So.
Well, you were saying when we were going on the previews call, there are more X books this month than the total number of Marvel comics I'm getting. What did you say? There were like 28 X books this month?
I think it was 21 that I was getting. And part of the mistake I think they made in the way they ordered the catalog this time, the first 4 or 5 X titles were double shipping. To where you go in and it just feels like, wow, there's a ton of, you know, too much stuff coming out. From the X-Men corner of the Marvel stuff, I am getting, 21 comics. They're double shipping Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine, X-Men, X-Men Legacy, New Mutants, and X-23. And I'm getting a little tired of the double shipping.
Yeah, it's kind of bad when they hit the same, because I thought they were only double shipping like 3 months out of the year, but, you know, maybe it's more on some books if that many hit all in the same month.
Well, and that's just in that area. They're also double shipping Avengers Academy.
Avengers Academy. The double ships I'm still getting.
Thunderbolts, yeah.
Are Spider-Man, which has been double shipping for years.
Well, supposed to,
you know. It's down from 3 times a month, so it's actually less than it was for a while. But I'm down to like Spider-Man and Avengers Academy were the only ones that hit me with double ships this month. They pretty much have driven me away from a lot of series with double ships.
Yeah. It's kind of disingenuous to go to a $2.99 price point towards saving people money and then double ship. But, you know, again, I'm liking a lot of what Marvel's doing. So.
Well, you know, if you're enjoying the book, you know, getting an extra one, it's more to love, right? I mean, so on one hand, hey, if I'm really loving a book, like I love Avengers Academy, I love Spider-Man. I don't mind those double shipping because I really like those. On some of them that I'm on the fence about, you know, double shipping can make me think twice about it. You know, I'm down to like kind of a core set. If they double ship Daredevil, I'll still get Daredevil, you know. If they double ship, I don't know. I'm looking. It's
the,
like
the way I would phrase it,
Fantastic Four, I'll probably still get Fantastic Four, you know?
There is this thing known as water poisoning. I think some radio station accidentally did this to somebody where it's basically just how much water can you drink? They were thinking it was just going to make them have to go to the bathroom all the time or whatever. But if you drink too much water too quickly, you actually can get water poisoning. It's, again, it's an oversaturation. It's an overflow or whatever. And I think that's what these Marvel in particular is running the risk of doing of, I may like this new Ghost Rider, but do I like it twice a month worth? Do I like all these, you know, do I start getting a backlog of stuff because I can't keep up, at which point I'll whittle down to where I can. And that's me, that's you, that's various other people. It's also hitting the stores and so forth. And I really think that it's smarter for them to be going for the slow, steady burn than the quick flash in the pan. And I think DC is actually doing a very good job showing some restraint with, okay, yeah, they started with 52 titles. They added a couple of things last month, you know, the Penguin, Pain and Prejudice, the Huntress, the Shade, that kind of stuff. They're adding a few more this time, Thunder Agents, Batman Odyssey Volume 2, those sorts of things. But they're not just doing another, here's another dozen titles, here's another dozen titles, or whatever. They're not expanding the line insanely fast. And I think what they're going to get out of that is potentially, you know, less money, but for a longer period of time versus more money for a, you know, immediately, but less over the long term. And it's, are you in it for the long haul or the short haul is what it comes down to. And there are times where I think almost to its detriment, DC plays the long game perhaps a little too much and Marvel the short game a little too much. And there's a happy medium to be had somewhere in between.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Marvel's very strong fan base. They don't seem to mind what Marvel does.
I disagree with that. You look at the sales figures and their average sales on their titles are dropping. So they're making more money, but they're doing it with a lot more work and effort into it and a lot more items coming out.
Well, I guess I'm like going at their rabid fan base. You know, it's like, and they're like whittling down what is their rabid. They had like fans that were fans, but not rabid fans. You know, it's like they're chasing those people away and they're getting down to this point, and where does, you know, what do they need to do to alienate even the real hardcore fans?
Well, are you better off selling 10 titles to 2 people or 2 titles to 10 people? And it's the 2 titles to 10 is really what you're better off with. It spreads out your risk a lot more. You've had to do a lot less effort to make the same kind of money. Yet what we're seeing here is if one Avenger title does well, let's do another half dozen or whatever. And some of this, like the X-Men Origins, or Avengers Origins, I mean, you know, with the movie coming out and all this, they're kind of ramping up the Avengers stuff. And I get that, but I don't know that that's really shown to be a successful plan of attack. I mean, it's obviously successful enough for them to keep doing it. But I really think, particularly with the new 52 and stuff having actually hit the streets, that we're going to see over the coming months some very interesting stuff, both in terms of what the publishers green light and what they put out in these solicitations, and then how these things are received and the marketplace and how they sell. So it's, again, I started this previews call this time around thinking I had room in my list to kind of fill up, and I found some stuff. Other times I'm going to be looking at it thinking I've got too much, I need to whittle down and be more selective. And it just comes down to, does a title launch in the wrong month or the right month for me to get it? Sometimes it'd be interesting to see how it plays out in the next year or so.
Yep. So anyway, like I said, I ended up with 149 comics. Now, what was your total comics?
Let's see. Total things I need bags and boards for is 136, but that doesn't include the 52 DC. So that would be 188.
Okay.
And again, there are a couple of things I may add to the list later. I just haven't decided. But that's about it. So I'm, like I said, I'm still down a little bit.
Right. But I mean, you're up where I was. And I mean, I was just at a point where it's like, I couldn't read that many books a month, which was really more of my motivation than, you know, wanting to save money particularly. So it's a different motivation than a lot of people who are cutting back have. It was just, you know, I want to get down to a point that I can comfortably read and keep up with, you know, what's coming in.
Oh, it comes down to, are you budgeting money, time, or both?
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I got another 20 books or so to go. 20 to 30 books. And I wanted to get that around 120 to 125.
Well, I think now that, you know, the next cycle of this, you're going to have information about all 52 of the DC titles.
Yes.
You'll be able to cut some stuff there, no problem, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, but I couldn't say right now. You know, it's just, I like Justice League good enough. I'm not cutting it, you know, so we'll see once I read some of the other ones, which ones resonate with me.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That does it. And this next month will be an interesting one. Tune in. You know, lots of episodes of us talking about all those DC comics, but, you know, we still love all the other comics too. And we'll be back again next month with the previews episode. Open submission policy, so you know, please visit the forum, check out the thread. I usually have links to online solicits starting around the somewhere between the 15th and the 20th of the month. So you don't need to buy a previews catalog. You can check these solicits out online, see what seems interesting to you, and send in a clip. We'd love to hear what your opinion is on this stuff and share that with the listeners.
Yeah, these episodes basically literally live or die on your submissions. We're going to talk about a couple of things, but we want to hear what you guys are interested in because, again, there are a couple of things. We nearly missed that that one thing from DC, that Elseworlds 80-page thing, and if somebody had sent that in as a clip saying, wow, you should pick this up or whatever, you know, we might not have missed it almost. But we want to hear what you guys are interested in just so it gives us new things to go check out. So please send in clips. We very much like that kind of feedback. We want to hear what you guys think as much as hopefully you guys want to hear what we think. So, cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.